Amen. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. That's a good song. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 3 today. Genesis chapter 3. We'll start at the beginning. Genesis chapter 3. They love to go to Sunday school. That's good. Amen. Good thing. Genesis chapter 3, you have in Genesis chapter 1, you have the creation. And God looked at everything and he saw that it was good. The devil has a way of corrupting what God creates. And it doesn't take long before the devil gets in the picture. In chapter 2, Adam is given instruction about the garden and not to eat of one tree. Everything else was there for him. But the one thing God asked them to do, obviously they did. There's a verse that says, stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And it's amazing how the human nature wants what it's not allowed to have. You tell a child, don't eat your peas, and he eats the peas. Amen. But there's things that are in our nature that we look at, and God has answers for those things. But we come to chapter 3, and the devil is going to tempt Eve. And we will begin reading in verse 6 of Genesis chapter 3. And the Bible says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They hid themselves from God. I think that was because of their sin. There's a verse that says, behold, your sin has separated you between you and your God. It breaks the fellowship. It goes on and it says in verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? It's not that God didn't know where Adam was. It's where God wanted Adam to know where he was. Amen? Do you understand that truth? Where art thou, Adam? God knew that. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee not that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Lord, bless your word today. Minister to us. May we learn. These things are written for our learning and our admonition. May we learn from this. And I pray, God, you'd strengthen all of our faith today. May you be glorified because of that. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's a game that people play. It's as old as Genesis, and it's called the blame game. I don't know if you've ever played the game. Some people are really good at it. They've played it for a long time, and it's just like automatic. Amen. Something comes into their life that looks bad, or there's criticism or whatever, and automatically it goes to the blame game. The woman thou gavest me. It can even be personal against God. I mean, that's an amazing thing where Adam is saying, you gave her to me. I don't think he said it like that. He said it like we have it recorded in the Bible. But it's always to blame somebody else. You ever hear the phrase, the devil made me do it? Well, it's the serpent, you know. That's the reason I did it. The serpent deceived me. And there's so much to this in the Bible. You know, I've done a lot of counseling in my years in the ministry. And I'm not a good counselor without the Bible, so I keep going back to the Bible. But there's a lot of children that blame their parents. There's a lot of parents that blame their children. There's wives that blame their husband. Husbands blame their wives. And there's plenty of blame to go around, amen? But blaming somebody else, if we do that constantly, it takes the responsibility away from us. I don't know if you've ever heard of road rage. Have you ever heard of that, road rage? And I drove a city bus for a while, and the hardest thing in my life was keeping a good spirit while I'm driving a city bus. And I remember one time I pulled up behind a car, and it just sat there, and the lights changed. And so I had a bad day, and I hit the horn a little too long, amen? And it was an older lady, and she jumped like this, and God said, well, I won't tell you what he said. But, you know, I couldn't blame my mood on her. You know, well, they're driving too slow, and don't they know I'm in a hurry? No, they probably don't know that you're in a hurry. Amen? Truck drivers have a difficult... You need to pray for truck drivers. Amen? Or cab drivers or whatever, but there's always something to blame somebody else for, and we never profit from that. Paul said to Peter in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, I withstood him because he was to be blamed, and he was. Because he had compromised. You could read that in the chapter. Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, that thou should be holy and without blame before him in love. So he's giving them instruction. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul is instructing this young preacher, and he tells him a bishop, a pastor, must then be blameless, not sinless. Amen. Not without fault, but blameless. In other words, somebody is working to be right with the Lord. That's the key. And so we all struggle with that. Amen? We don't want to be blamed. We don't want to have a bad testimony. And sometimes when we fall, a just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. Thank God for his mercy. Where would we be? Because nobody is perfect. Nobody does everything right. Amen? I'm probably going to preach too long today. But for somebody else, I might not preach long enough. And anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. We'll have a little fun with this today. But we're supposed to be blameless. The phrases like pass the buck, point the finger. I don't know if you've ever looked up the meaning of gaslight, but you need to look up the meaning of being a gaslighter. And you'll be amazed at what that says. But it's an automatic thing. And so in Genesis, the woman thou gavest to me, she caused this problem. No, the serpent deceived me, and he's the one that caused this problem. The devil made me do it, but the devil didn't make us do anything. Amen? He didn't make us do it. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Okay? So we can be affected by somebody else. So we're told, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we learn the word of God, and as we learn the word of God, we're not deceived. If Adam would have believed the word of God or done the word of God, he wouldn't have taken of the tree. Amen? Because God gave him that instruction. So we need instruction from the Bible. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 4, Adam and Eve, they have two boys, Cain and Abel. And Cain brought a sacrifice to the Lord, but it was the fruits of the ground. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says that Abel's sacrifice was well-pleasing to the Lord because he brought the blood sacrifice, because that's the sacrifice that covered Adam and Eve. They tried to make their own covering, but God covered them in animal skins because the animals had been slain. And that was a picture of the death of Christ. But anyway, without getting into that, this is what Cain said when the Lord confronted him. And Cain killed his brother. And he killed his brother because he was jealous that the Lord accepted his brother and not his sacrifice. And it says, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord knew what Cain had done. Amen. But he denied doing anything. And he hid that. But you can't hide anything from God. And we'll see that as we get into the scripture. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, if you want to turn over there, 1 Samuel chapter 15, I want to look at a lot of Bible today. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and I'll wait till you get there. And this is a story about Samuel coming to Saul. Saul was the king, and he was chosen to be the king. But when he was young, he served the Lord, but something went wrong with Saul. And here he is. We'll just read the story. Let's begin in verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 15. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And he had not performed the commandment of the Lord. He was told to destroy the enemy, and he did not do what the Lord had commanded him. That is in verse 13. He said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. He hid his sin. In 1 Samuel 15:24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He says, the reason I did that is I was afraid of the people. But originally he said, I hadn't sinned. I've done the right thing. But now, after a little scrutiny, well, what are these sounds, the bleating of the sheep, and you were supposed to destroy all of this? Well, the reason I did it was because of the people. I was afraid of the people. And so that's what he did. And so he blamed his sin on other people. Then you come down to verse 30. Then he said to Samuel, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. Now he's confessing his sin for the wrong reason. He still wanted to be accepted by everybody. And you see in that one story what he tried to do. First he tried to hide it. When he couldn't hide it, he blamed it on somebody else. When that didn't work either, he still needed Samuel, come on, come with me and tell everybody I'm a good guy. That's what he was doing. And he was still away from the Lord. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. Some people sing the song, it's them, O Lord. Amen. Boy, if they could only get fixed. Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, he goes away. He wastes his living, all his money on riotous living. And then he remembers his father, and he remembers their bread back there, and what a loving father he had. If you ever get away from God, there's a loving heavenly father that's always looking for you to come back. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. The father, when he saw the prodigal coming back, ran out to meet him. God will always do that, because it's a mercy seat. It's a throne of grace, amen? And all you have to do is approach him and ask for mercy. Isn't that wonderful? It's just a blessing that that is so true. And the Bible says in Luke 15, when he came to himself, he says, I'm going home. And this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of thy hired servants. And his father did more than that. Amen. He forgave him everything. They had a party, shoes on his feet, the robe. You know the story. That's how to repent. Amen. He didn't blame his brother. Well, my brother gave me such a hard time, I had to get out of here. Or, Father, you were so strict. No, he recognized his own sin and he confessed it. You have Psalm 51. If you want to turn over there, it's a great psalm, Psalm 51. David had sinned. What had David done? Think about what he did. He robbed a 7-Eleven. No, he didn't rob a 7-Eleven. I mean, it was really bad what he did. He committed adultery with another man's wife. And then he had that man killed to hide his sin. The Bible says that. It's very, very clear. Psalm 51 is David repenting. And we have in verse 1, Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And then he prays for a right spirit, a renewed heart, and all of those things. And God granted that to him. And God had mercy on David no matter what his sin was. The father had mercy on the prodigal son no matter how he dishonored his father. He came back. All you have to do is ask for mercy. Amen? That's a blessing. We have in Luke chapter 18, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the one a publican. And the Pharisee said, God, I thank thee, I'm not like this man. I do this right, this right, this right. If that is your attitude, God's going to have a hard time speaking to you because you will justify it. We're all sinners. It's just the grace of God. Amen. And nobody's perfect. And we sin from day to day, but there's a mercy seat. You can always go back to it and create that fellowship again with the Lord. But the publican, he would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That man went home justified. And you find all of the stories in the Bible about that. All somebody has to do is turn from their sin and ask for mercy, and God gives that mercy to them. Proverbs 28:13. I love this verse. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. That is bad. But whoso forsaketh, confesseth, and forsaketh it shall find mercy. If we cover our sin, it won't profit. But if we confess it and forsake it, then there is the mercy of God. What a choice. Enjoying the mercy of God. Did you ever live under guilt? You ever live under guilt? And when you get that right with the Lord, the guilt is gone. You experience that. And it's good if you can feel that. I preached a few weeks ago on conviction. And it's good to feel conviction. Amen? When you're convicted about something, and then you're a doer of the word because God told you to forsake that. So you're a doer of the word. And then you feel that mercy and that grace. And it really is a blessing to your heart. And Job 31:33, Job said this, if I covered my transgressions as Adam, he said, by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom, hiding from God. He says, if I did what Adam did, that's going to be a real problem. And he knew what Adam did. He took knowledge of it, and he learned from it, and he did not do the wrong thing. Blameless before God. That's what God wants. Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5. This is David again. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Let me just, something popped into my head. Things pop out as fast as they pop in. But, when you're convicted of something, you can harden your heart. Pharaoh did that. He hardened his heart. And the thing to do is when God speaks to you, you can hear him whisper. He doesn't have to yell. Amen? Just he's speaking to you. And when we respond to that, that's a blessing. Some people don't respond, and their heart gets harder and harder and harder. And it's easier and easier and easier to do the wrong thing. Revival is when we come to the place where God said this, and I want to please God, and I know I haven't. I'm sorry, Lord. There's mercy, and there's strength for God to give you that will enable you to do the right thing. If I covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom. Again, David said, when I kept silence, David did a lot to cover his sin. He did a lot. Amen. He put Uriah at the forefront of the battle because that was Bathsheba's husband. And he said, now withdraw from him so that he's killed. And he had a man killed. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. David, the man after God's own heart. We never get to the place where I'll never do the wrong thing. We're sinners by nature. We have an old nature. We have an old man always working. What God creates, the devil corrupts. We have the Spirit of God guiding us, leading us, enabling us. Amen. All of those wonderful things. And the flesh. Do you remember last week? The Spirit is willing, but something with the flesh. What was that, Richard? The flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So there goes the battle. And he says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Hip, hip, hooray. That's a blessing. He was convicted. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Praise God. It's all you have to do to get right with the Lord. What a difference that makes. What a difference. You ever get caught in a lie? Sometimes we don't tell the truth until we're caught in the lie. David did that. Remember the prophet Nathan came to him and said, David, I got a story to tell you. There's a man, and he's a poor man, and he's got this little baby lamb, and his kids love it as a pet, and it goes in their house, out of their house, and he's one of the family. But there was a rich man that came, and he had a feast for some of his friends, and he took this lamb from this poor man and killed it and had his feast. And David said, that man shall pay fourfold and give his life for that sin. Fourfold, that's in Leviticus. If you killed another man's animal, you had to pay fourfold. David was so mad, he added, and give his life. And Nathan looked at him and said, thou art the man, David. You're the guy. You're the one. And that was enough to shake him to the core. Because sometimes it takes somebody saying something, revealing something, pointing the finger when it needs to be pointed, amen, and bringing somebody to the reality that they are not right with God. And the reason David was so angry, he was hiding that guilt. And you look at angry people, what's going on? What's so deep in them that causes that? And of course, there might be all kinds of blame for that going all different places. 2 Samuel 13, there's a story there about a man by the name of Amnon. And this was one of David's sons. He had a sister, Tamar, but she was only a half-sister from a different wife. And Amnon, you can read the story later, I'll just try and condense it, but Amnon had a crush on her and wanted to be with her. He wanted to be with her immorally. And he was really down about it because there's no way to do that. And Amnon had a friend by the name of Jonadab. And Jonadab told Amnon how he could be alone with his sister and how he could violate her and how to do it. And so Amnon took the advice, and that's exactly what he did. And then after that, there's so many lessons from this. But Amnon hated her with the fervent love he had for her. Now he hated her because of that sin. And it's interesting that Absalom was Tamar's brother, and Absalom eventually killed Amnon. It took a while, and he bore that bitterness for a long time. But Jonadab was never found out. You can read the chapter. Nobody ever found out that it was Jonadab that counseled Amnon to do it the way he did. Would to God that Jonadab, when Amnon came to him and they talked, would to God Jonadab would have said, no, that's not right, Amnon. You don't need to do that. That's against the scripture. That's against God. That's against the family. Don't do that. It's going to cause trouble for a long time. And it did. You have the same thing with Jacob and his mother lying to the father. You have all of these illustrations in the Bible where somebody is not being real, and they're hiding their sin. And that sin always, always, always has a price to pay. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. But there's a warning in the Bible, and it says, moreover, by the word of God, by this is thy servant warned, and in keeping of the words there is great reward. So we don't, if you lie down with the dogs, you'll get up with the fleas. Amen? So the way you stay away from that is don't lie down with the dogs. When somebody tells you to go contrary to the scripture, contrary to spiritual advice, Don't go there, because they can corrupt you and it can go bad with everybody. Here's some good verses. Proverbs 1:15. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from thy path. They will lead you astray. By the words of thy mouth, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. As for the old paths, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And all the verses on that. We have Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, in his law doth he meditate day and night. So don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Isaiah 30:21. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Bear with me. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. All of these verses. Because when this is evident in a man's life, God will deliver him. There is no temptation taken you, but it's common to all men, but God is faithful. He'll deliver you. He'll deliver you from that if you're right with him. Romans 6:4, walk in newness of light. Isaiah 2:5, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Galatians 5:25, walk in the Spirit. Here's a good one, 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Do you have that kind of a wonderful life? That you get up in the morning and you go through the day and you're walking in the light of the Word of God. You're wanting to please the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is alive in you. Amen. And you're enjoying being a blessing to other people and being a blessing to God. Amen. Well, I would do that, but my husband's a jerk. You can't blame that on your husband. Well, the woman thou gavest me, she and then we get out the door. And we have fellow workers, right? Man, what a lazy bum. I got to do all the work. And I wonder what Joseph was like in prison when it says he had an excellent spirit. Amen? Yeah, and as I look down at the truck drivers, boy, do I have illustrations there. Not from them, but just, anyway, I'm moving right along. Amen? But you go through the day, and people that you work with, people that you're around, even the wife in, what is it, 1 Peter 3? It says, if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife, the way of life. Even if they don't win them by the word, they can win them by their actions. And you say, well, no, I can't. Doesn't excuse it. Amen. If we do wrong until somebody else does right, we will continue to do wrong. Amen. Well, let's move on here because it doesn't look too good out there. Amen? This life affects other people. They know you could say something, but you set a watch over your lips. And they would handle it this way, but you're not going to handle it that way. Because when he was reviled, he reviled not again. A soft answer turneth away wrath. And all the different verses where God has spoken to us. Amen? And it's walk in his way, walk in the light, walk in his spirit. We don't want to walk there. And then we make up the excuse why we don't want to walk there. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Today we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We remember his shed blood and we remember his broken body that was for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was treated terribly. Terribly. He was beaten, he was mocked, he was spit upon, he was nailed to a cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. It's absolutely amazing. And he did all of that for me. He did all of that for you. Because he did the will of his Father. Of his heavenly Father. There was a pastor one time I read in rather large church in a large community, a large city, and he invited the community, invite anybody who wanted to come to the church on an off night, and if they had anything against the church, he would like to hear it. And there was a lot of people that came. And here's some of the things that people said about the church. Well, it's filled with a bunch of hypocrites. I've seen some of these people, and they say they're this, and out at work or in the neighborhood, or they are just nothing but a hypocrite. He said, okay, how about another one? Well, that church is not friendly. Visitors come, hardly anybody goes to see them. Somebody joins the church, and hey, the pastor says, come up and, you know, shake their hand, and they just go right on. And I mean, there's people, they just ignore that. Well, let's get another one. There's a bunch of them. Maybe some of these are yours. Amen. The music. The music is too rocky. The music is too, what do we call it? Conservative. Contemporary conservative. And you can't please all the people, but those are the things people say. How about another one? I'm not getting fed. I don't get enough Bible when I go there. The sermon's too long. The sermon's too short. They can't get the stupid heat right. Amen. And then in the summer, it's too hot in here. The temperature's wrong. We used to do a thing in Sturgis. I shouldn't confess to this, but I guess I will so that there's some power on the preaching today. But I'd say, how many are too hot? And this, how many are too cold? How many are just right? And my ushers knew, don't touch it. Just don't change, because you're not going to play. Go walk back by the thermostat and look at it, and then go sit down. Amen. At least we do, at least we respond to it here. Amen. Amen. That's tough. Here's another one. You don't say amen enough. Here's another one. You say amen too much. I can create this as I go. You're too pushy. You're too pointed. The preaching is too pointed. The sermons are too long, or the sermons are too short, or they're just doing it for the money. Anyway, there were 90-some comments about the church, the negativity. 90-some comments. And the pastor finally got up and he says, well, you said a lot of things about the church, about the people that are in the church, about the pastor, about this and that. But not one person said anything against Jesus Christ. Not one person. And isn't that why we ought to come to church? Well, I would come, but I don't get along with this person. I don't like the offering plate shoved in my face. We don't even do that. We just put it up here if you want to put something in. And by the way, you should put something in. Tithing is taught in the Bible. You say, well, I think that's Old Testament. Okay, let's go to the book of Acts. Sell your house and put the money from the house in the offering. I'm not saying to do that. I'm just being sarcastic there. But can't we do something for the Lord? Amen? Well, I don't like to go to church where they ask for money. Okay, well, take that off of me. There's so many things. Lord says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Amen? We learn the Bible here. We have a preaching service. We have a Sunday school service. We used to have a prayer meeting. We can get back to that. If you come to pray, we'll pray. So many things. And if we don't do everything that everybody wants us to do, just honor the Lord. Amen? Just honor the Lord. Have you ever heard this? If that's a Christian, I don't want anything to do with it. Amen. Some people have told me, Pastor, you're such a blessing. I like your jokes. Well, I'm glad you like my jokes, even though I use them over and over and over. But this is not a contest, a popularity contest. Amen? This is, God calls a man. I'm sorry. Amen. But here I am. And God put me in the pulpit and he said, preach this. Say this. You have to believe that because you're praying that God would give me the messages. You have to believe that. Amen? And so you come and, well, sometimes I don't like your sarcasm, or sometimes this is a little edgy. But sometimes it's good. I was visiting one time with a man in my church, and we knocked on the door, and the fellow that was with me, he's with the Lord now, but he said to the guy that came to the door, he says, "And this is my pastor, and every once in a while he has a good sermon." And I guess the Lord just wanted me to be humbled that day, amen. There's, you know, even Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." But Pilate's mistake was when he listened to the people. He said, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they said, "Crucify him." And so for the fear of man and the fear of losing his position, he had Jesus crucified, but he did not find fault in him. And the story of Mary, we're doing fine. The story of Mary with the alabaster box, John chapter 12, Mark chapter 14, different portions of the story. But Mary came and she brought an alabaster box of ointment, very precious. She broke it and she poured it out on the Lord because she wanted to anoint him for his burial. She had enough faith. The disciples didn't get it, the resurrection, but she did. And so she wanted to anoint him before the burial. And God said, Jesus said, what she's done, the gospel is going to be spread, and what she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her for eternity. And so she had that done. But Judas said, no, we shouldn't do that. We could sell it and get so much money and feed the poor. This he said, not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. He held what was in the bag. He was the treasurer. It was Judas. Amen? You say, well, yeah, I expect that from Judas. But Mark chapter 14 says all the disciples were with Judas. Nobody knew what Judas was really like. But his words of discord, his words of going against what would please the Lord, filtered down to people that didn't understand the spirit that Judas had. Remember at the Lord's Supper? Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Nobody knew it was Judas till he was identified. Keep a right spirit, amen? Because this is the Lord's church. The Lord's church. There's plenty to complain about, isn't there? Amen? What if I, when you fall asleep in church, what if I said, hey, over here, everybody look over here. Wouldn't that be something? And I say, if Nick comes in late, I said, hi, Nick, how you doing? Amen? But Nick's a good sport, right? I mean, there's always something to complain about, but it's the Lord's church. And that complaint could affect somebody's life and they don't even come back. Amen? Amen. Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bow down and worship the image. Nope. We're not careful to answer thee. If God wants to, he will deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, we're not going to bow down to that. Daniel chapter 6, there's a writing that says anybody that doesn't bow down and pray or worships any other god will be thrown into the den of lions. And it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks to his God as he did aforetime. It didn't change a thing. He was just going to be faithful to the Lord. One more verse, maybe two. Daniel 11:32. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That's a heroic act. That's an act of sacrifice. It's an act of sometimes suffering, but it's something that pleases the Lord. Amen? Amen. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. White as snow. Whatever God spoke to you about, I hope that he's spoken. I hope that something in his word has got down into the heart. Amen? And that there's going to be a change, because we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The blame game, it's old as the Bible, old as creation. do what's right, no matter what anybody else is doing, and don't use people for scapegoats. Well, this is why I did that. No. Be right with the Lord. Serve Him with a pure heart, fervently. It's His church. Father, we love You. Thank You for the blessings we have to know You, to love You, to serve You. So many things would try to interfere with that, Lord. Bless Your church. Bless Your people. Thank God for them. I pray that You'd use us all for Your glory. In the difficult times, Lord, just give us strength. In Jesus' name, amen.